Hello, listeners, and welcome. 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld London, an actual play RPG podcast that uses the 7th edition Call of Cthulhu system. We weave macabre Gaslight-era tales of terror and suspense for your listening enjoyment. Our games are story-driven and rules-light. Now, our keeper for Otherworld London, Wes Otis.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Otherworld London, episode 37. I have some players. Let's start with Terry.
Oh, whoa. Why do I feel shocked? I wasn't ready. Hi. I know you said we were about to start a show, and here we are. Hi, Terry Gamble here. I am playing Alizé Carew. I'm a shopkeeper, not much of a shop much left because a god has taken over with a weird church. It's got a tree in the center of it. It's very disconcerting. Maybe we'll stop him by going out to an estate and, you know, we defeated Sununus. Who knows what's going to happen now? I don't know. God, I wish I could tell you.
Hey guys, I'm Mac. I am going to be playing Ethel Prendergast, who is not really sure what is happening now. We did a thing, and now what?
Hello, I'm Bria Iyengar, playing Dr. Lisette Powell, who is cautiously optimistic. We did it! Why is no one look as excited?
I'm Michelle Otis, and I'm playing Eugenia Penbottom of the Lancashire Penbottoms, and perhaps we don't look as excited because we've been through tragedy before, and yet we're here again.
Oh.
Just a quick recap. Last episode was the origin story of Dr. Vogue, how Dr. Vogue came to be. It was traumatic, to say the least. The person who turned into Dr. Vogue went through some horrible things. Now we pick up after the Dr. Vogue story and after you all defeated Sununus. You guys got together all of the things that you needed to do to summon Sununus and then basically banish him by striking him with a Celtic dagger. And at the end, he basically exploded into a fiery pillar of light, and then everything went dark because it was in the middle of the night and there was no more wolves around you. There was no more nothing. And you started walking up the hill towards Benny's estate. And everything seemed to go real well. And just to quickly mention, before that, there was the fire that you set at Mabel's house because she had turned into this hideous worm maggot creature.
She felt like balloons, you know?
She felt like balloons.
That's what she turned into? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys just burnt it because fire usually kills everything for the most part. So that was
usually good. For the most part? I don't like these words.
Yes. That's why I picked them. So that's kind of where we're at right now. You guys are walking up. Martin is still in London, just so we know where all the people are. Benny and the general are with you guys at the estate. And you have just walked up to the house after vanquishing Sununus and his followers disappear. And I believe at the end of the last episode, each of you got some kind of liquor, because what else are you going to do?
It was deserved.
Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker.
Yeah, absolutely. It was totally deserved.
Wait, was candy an option?
Candy's always an option. When
I want both.
Okay. So you and the goat that you were left with are having candy and a drink. Of course, that goat's looking at you a little weird, like, what?
Yeah. It's okay. We'll be rebuilding the trust together. You're fine. And I let him crunch the, like, old crappy ribbon candy that I'm just nomming on.
Okay. So I'm going to assume you're going to spend the night at the mansion before you head back to London. And the next morning when you wake up, you smell this strange rot, not like dead bodies, but more like just pungent vegetation just decaying. And Benny comes to Alizé's door and knocks on the door and says, dear, I feel you should come in and see this. It's a little disturbing.
Yes, dear.
And you guys walk out and everybody else is just starting to stir, and you get to the edge of the balcony, and where you guys did the actual ceremony, there's a huge circle that goes halfway up the hill, and all the trees and everything have died, and everything is just this brown mush. Anything that was plant is decayed, and there's a bunch of insects all over and mushrooms that have rapidly grown out of the area.
Oh, dear.
I think Mother might notice that.
Death has followed us. I'm so sorry, Benny. I didn't think that it would present itself in such a way. I do apologize.
It's okay, darling. It's if we have to get new trees to keep you from getting accosted by that creature, then I think the trees are worth it.
Might be more than new trees. I'm hoping this isn't something that lingers further or longer.
Look, darling, I know that we spoke about getting married in a few months, but I don't want to wait any longer.
Let's do it today.
Yes. Let's go. Let's go to London with all of us, and we'll do it. We'll get my mother, and she'll complain, but she'll just have to listen to me for once.
I said that, but I didn't think you would mean it right away.
Of course I mean. I've been waiting a year for this stupid creature to go away and leave us alone.
All right.
I just want to be with you.
All right. And are you?
Well, then let's go before whatever that is gets bigger and eats the house. Let's go.
Oh, I do hope. I don't like that joke.
I'm sorry, but levity is all we have anymore, right? You know, stiff upper lip and all that.
Yes, I suppose you've got to laugh to keep from crying, huh?
Sometimes, yes. All right, so Ethel, you wake up to the same smell and, you know, you look out and you see it. The difference is when you look out, you see all these white lights. There's a fog. There's a layer of fog over this big area. Mm-hmm. There's still the tree trunks and everything. And in the fog are these white lights that are just kind of eerily floating there.
That can't be good. I would probably go outside, though, and try and get a better look.
All right. You go outside and you see that these balls of light are floating about 3 feet off the ground, and they seem to be perfectly 2 feet away from each other. So, and I want to apologize to our European listeners who moved on to the metric system years ago. I'm very sorry, but we are way behind. We should have moved to it a while ago.
Yeah, it's really weird that we haven't. It makes no sense because it's honestly, it's easier if once you know it, but to get there, it's very difficult to move from our stupid, anyway.
I just want to apologize because we have a lot of people in England who are like, 2 feet, what the fuck? Anyway.
A little less than a meter. Yeah. It's a meter off the ground and about 2/3 of a meter away from each other.
Right. There we go.
Thank you, doctor.
You're
welcome.
But really, in today's pandemic, they should be 2 meters away from each other. But
they don't practice social distancing. That's how you know the lights are evil.
Yes. That's layered. Okay, so. You're all great. You know that, right? I enjoy all of you very much. So yeah, you get out there and they're in this pattern that you see, and you don't want to get any nearer to them. You feel a compulsion not to go towards them.
Okay. I do not approach them.
That is a perfectly valid response in a Call of Cthulhu game. Okay, fuck it. I'm walking away.
Don't go near it.
I think I just sort of stand out on the... It's not really a porch if it's
veranda.
At an estate.
Could it be a veranda? I don't know.
Whatever is fanciest. I probably am just outside watching these things.
Okay, cool. Eugenia, the general always gets up pretty early.
Of course, he's a military man.
Right. He's up, he's getting dressed, getting his shirt on, and you notice that on his back are some bruises that look pretty severe, like he was thrown up against a wall or something. They look pretty bad. He fights through the pain of putting his shirt on.
Rupert,
starts buttoning it up.
Rupert, what happened to your back? Well, was it from last night? Don't try and tell me that it's nothing. No, I know you want to soldier through. However, I'm your wife. I need to know such things.
He sits down on the bed.
Well, you took a tumble. Why? What happened? Did you trip down the stairs? Robert, I know you're a proud man. You need to tell me. So you've been falling. You've been having dizzy spells and such. You do know that I now have a very good friend who's a doctor. She's brilliant. No, I am going to insist that you see her. She's right here, Robert. You don't even have to go out of your way. Have a cup of tea. You'll feel better. And then we'll talk to the doctor.
He just shakes his head, buttons up his shirt, and lumbers towards the door. So, Dr. Powell...
I want to give an award to Michelle Otis for interpreting...
For one-sided...
Yeah, for one-sided improv
scenes. It's a one-sided story. It's very good.
It totally is.
It's great.
It's kind of fun because I get to steer where it's going.
We can't do that. There's other people in the house. Oh, you look when they watch. Oh, general.
It's very funny.
There was that one episode.
Yeah, there was.
Oh, general.
I will say that the general's my proudest NPC I've ever created.
he's so iconic. I love it.
All right. So, Dr. Powell, you wake up, you process what you've seen up till now. At this point, after being around these women for, I don't know, it's only probably been like a week or so since you've met them, but you've been through quite a bit.
Well, it's weak.
And you can't help but to wonder how Martin's doing back in London. After you get up and you get dressed, there's a knock on the door, and Eugenia and the general come in.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Powell. I'm so sorry to disturb you, but we're up early, especially because my husband is a military man, so we tend to wake with the birds, yes. But,
I'm very much the same. This is quite pleasant.
Well, we've come to you with a medical concern.
Oh.
And if you would be so kind. General, he's been experiencing some bouts of dizziness and falling. Mm. And he has a large bruise on his back from the falling. But now you listen.
Oh, now, General.
You know, once I've put it in my mind that it's going to happen. So.
Well, I thought my days with pediatrics were done, but I guess we can go around one more time. Now, if you wouldn't mind giving me that stiff upper lip one more time and just enduring, we'll get to the bottom of it. Okay.
So he unbuttons his shirt and.
Well, I want her to look at his
because he's feeling dizzy too. The dizziness okay. issue.
Yeah, she would definitely want to see like the fall damage first.
Yeah.
So let's suss out and make sure there's no like internal bleeding. So she's definitely like checking him out to make sure that's okay, and then we'll try to suss out.
Can you give me a medical roll real quick?
I can absolutely do that. Do not fail me, dice. I got a 9.
Excellent. Yay. Yay.
I'm the most at medicine.
So Robert's actually like physically in pretty good shape for a man of his age. And the bruising doesn't look like it looks bad, but it doesn't mm-hmm. look like it's internal bleeding bad. Cool. You do notice as you're looking around him, you look on his back and then you check out his ear. He does seem to have something going on with his right ear, and his monocle actually, because he only uses a monocle every once in a while, looks kind of old.
Hmm. Might I see your monocle, my good sir?
Hands it to you.
Yeah. I want to inspect it.
It looks, like I said, relatively old, so you're wondering how powerful monocle it is and whether or not
I wanna look through it.
It doesn't look all that powerful. And you know that he's hit about 50, I think, at this point. And so he probably needs glasses, but is very strong-willed and doesn't want to probably wear them. So he just wears the monocle to kind of skate by. So you're wondering if the ear infection and then not being able to see too well, those things together.
Oh, an ear infection. Ha ha!
Problems.
And I hold up the monocle and just, is this a family heirloom? Important to you?
Oh, no? Oh, darn. And I drop it and step on it.
How terrible.
Oh, what a butterfingers.
Oh.
I'm so terribly sorry. You need glasses. Like real ones, because you're old now. And she just gives like a small, slow smile.
He can't see it because she just broke his monocle.
Eugenia just kind of goes,
Now I'm going to give you some hydrogen peroxide for your ears. That will help. Here, I have a old toast. Just lick this toad.
Lick this toast.
Every morning and evening for 10 days.
Wait, no, that's my toads.
No, not my toads. Those are different.
Those are my for special sex. Toads.
They are for sex, yes.
They are, yeah, you know.
And so she gives him something to like physically pour in his ears for the ear infection.
Okay.
And then she has a pair of readers that are fairly strong because her very bohemian apartment has very low lighting and she's been getting eye strain lately. And she just like pulls them out of her bag and you will pardon the feminine detailing, but please just let me know how those suit you and I can help you out with a bit of a prescription.
He and reacts positively towards, you know, to the glasses as if he can see.
Okay.
So those are, because I rolled to see the chances and I got a 2.
Yay!
So, oh, wow.
Your prescription's pretty close to what he needs.
Perfect. You cannot have these glasses, they are mine. But I am very aware of the prescription and I would be happy to write one for you so you don't need to see another doctor since you seem to be so loath to do so.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we'll find you a very masculine set of spectacles for you, maybe little swords on it, maybe it's like a gun, I don't know. We'll find you something good.
He seems perplexed. And he takes his broken monocle and kind of walks out.
Yes.
A few moments later, as you guys are getting down to the dining room, Ethel is still out on the veranda or whatever, looking down at these lights. And Benny comes in and goes, Eugenia, Dr. Powell, we've made a decision that now that this is done, that we're going to go back to London and use our connections so that we can get married today so we don't have to wait any longer. And we're hoping that you will all accompany us.
I want to check and see the look on Alizé's face to make sure she's okay with it, since Dr. Powell is pretty anti-marriage. Like, so she's making a big old stink face right now, like, Alizé?
Yes, no, we've been waiting for so long, and there's been so many obstacles one after the other. I think we've shared some of them with you. Today would be a great day.
I'm so excited.
Me too.
Sure.
Eugenia. Yes? Yes, Doctor. I know it's not, you're not into conventions. And institutions in certain respects, it seems. Benny and I do respect marriage, but above all, we love each other and would like to be together. And the best way for us to do that and honor his family and the memory of mine is to form a union.
Well, when you put it like that, I can't be mad.
Eugenia takes her little hanky out of her sleeve and dabs her eyes. So beautiful.
Eugenia. You softy. Well, crying at words.
But it's so beautiful. It's just so beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Eugenia. You're such a dear heart. Thank you for everything you've done over these last months.
I think the question now is, though, how can we help? I will not do a reading. You don't want that. You don't. Not an actor.
Huh. Well, I think with our timeline, we're really going to be running in and getting married in front of our close friends and then finding a place that serves good wine for a celebration. I think that would be the best way, right, dear? Do you agree?
I agree.
So we should get everybody's things and get going. At any point, does anyone notice that Ethel is outside just staring at all these lights?
I mean, do we see her? Is she on? I thought, like, I guess I assumed she was on, like, her private balcony.
No, because she went down and then went outside. Or did you?
I went down and outside. So I'm
on, like, the patio area to look at it closer. And so you guys see her out the window, kind of just staring down at this large desiccated area.
So we don't see the lights that she sees.
No, you don't see the lights.
This is my first time seeing the desiccation, though. So I'm like,
yeah.
Oh,
the smell is all over the place. It's bad.
Oh.
I go out onto the veranda. Ethel, are you all right, dear?
Now, real quick, before you start, when you look at Eugenia, she seems to have one of those lights about a foot above her head, and it's glowing yellow with fire.
I am feeling a bit upset about what I'm seeing in front of me, and I'm not sure that I'm seeing what everyone else is.
Well, I can tell you what I see. I do see all the dead vegetation, and that must have something to do with our ceremony last night. Killing of a nature god and all that.
But no lights.
No, I see no lights. Do you see lights?
Yes.
Oh, I wonder what they are.
And I, unfortunately, see one of them above your head.
Is it doing anything?
It doesn't seem to be, but it can't be a great sign, I would think.
Well, I don't quite know what to say. I suppose we'll just keep an eye on it and hope things are all right.
I'm going to reach into my pocket and pull out the spectacles that I got from Dr. Vogg and put them on and look out at the area around me and also look over Eugenia's head and see if I see anything differently wearing those.
The lights by the dead plants down below, they seem inert. They're not on fire like the one over her head. They seem dead. The glasses don't really change them, but I'm just letting you know what you notice the difference
sure.
between the two things are. Hers above her head looks like literally a fireball glowing bright.
Hmm. I do not understand what this means, but it doesn't seem to be causing you any distress at this moment. So I guess I'll keep an eye on it.
Well, hopefully it will remain at bay long enough for us to go into town, into London, because Alizé and Benny are getting married today.
Oh, that Alizé must be absolutely thrilled.
Oh, she's ecstatic, ecstatic. So no delay. We must get ready to go.
I will go and grab my wig, as I am still wanted by the law enforcement.
We'll figure that out, my dear. One thing at a time. It's one thing to kill the Celtic god. It's another thing to deal with Scotland Yard.
It is at that.
All right. So you go in and you get ready. You turn. You go find a phone box and turn into Evelyn.
Love it.
When you go inside, you notice that everybody has one of those orbs above their head. Some of them are brighter than others.
If I look into a mirror, do I see one over my head?
Yeah.
And what health level is it at?
it's pretty strong.
Interesting. Okay. That's upsetting. I have a theory, but
Can you give me a sand check? I just think at this point, now that you're piecing things together.
Oh, man, my sanity is down a lot. Oops. Well, it was going to be hard to do anyway. I rolled an 81.
Ooh.
Oof. Okay.
But my sand is down pretty far by this point.
Give me an intelligence roll. And let me know, you want to get above your intelligence.
Be smart.
No, be dumb. Oh, yeah. No, she wants to be dumb. She wants to get higher than her intelligence.
Yeah, I tried. And that's when it decided that it was going to roll appropriately. And I got a 56 under my 60.
Okay.
So close. I roll so good when we play Agent's Dossier.
Yeah, I know. I know. That show you're doing great in. So you take 4 points.
Cool.
And yeah, you're seeing people's actual souls.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking I was seeing.
Yeah, it's their actual souls.
That's exciting. And by exciting, I mean horrible. Thank you. I hate it.
Ethel, why are you staring at everyone like that? Also, why are you outside? It smells terrible.
I was investigating something and...
Are you a secret botanist?
Yes, I am a secret botanist. You have uncovered my true identity. Thank you. I was so tired of living the lie.
I think you're living a lie now. Did you hear the news?
Yes, I did, and my congratulations to you.
Something wrong? You not approve? You don't seem...
No, I... Please excuse me. I feel unwell today.
What's wrong?
I'm currently seeing something that nobody else can see, which is usually about my usual state of being. So we might as well just proceed, and I'll keep you apprised if anything changes.
No. I want to know what it is. What are you seeing?
Thank you.
Glowing lights. Glowing lights attached to everybody in this room.
So like a halo?
Like a life force.
Like a curse? Like...
No, I don't think... And maybe I'll be able to better ascertain it when we're in London around other people.
Where's mine and how does it look? She just like slowly turns in a circle.
Hers looks pretty bright as well.
Whatever it is above your head, and it is burning very bright, which I hope is a good sign.
You don't seem sure. And she just sort of, like, ducks a little. Like
it follows her head and kind of goes a little aside.
My dear doctor, with the things that I have seen and the things that I've talked to, I'm not sure of anything.
That's quite a brilliant take. Please let me know if there's anything I can do for you.
I appreciate it.
I'm hoping this isn't cast a dark cloud over the ceremony.
No, it's super bright.
That wasn't a really fun joke. Why is everyone making inappropriate jokes today? First better than you. It's
joie de vivre, I think. We are all very grateful to be alive, and that has made us a bit unfettered from propriety. I apologize.
Sure. It's all right. I'd rather the joviality than, I guess, sadness? I don't know.
The other thing, Ethel, that you start to realize because you've been so focused on the lights is that the itching on your back has also gotten worse.
Cool.
That doesn't sound good, Wes.
Cool. Yeah. Cool, cool.
Does she scratch it in front of the doctor?
Well, she can't get to it because she has 85 pounds of clothes on. So.
Yeah, but like you could just jam a little stick in there.
You could. She's like, she's...
No, I think Ethel is working to contain it for right now.
Yeah, you can feel it's on a larger portion of your back than it was.
Cool. Yeah, I'm trying really hard not to ruin Alizé's day and maybe wait until at least the next day to tell everybody that shit's probably bad.
Even though you're American, that's very English of you.
So nice of you.
Yeah, well, I've been living in this country long enough.
Yes.
It's rubbed off.
I was thinking about Meaning of Life, where they make the lieutenant a cake for his birthday during World War I, and they're like, you know how hard it is to melt butter in freezing weather? Because he doesn't want it, like, you know. So, like, that's very good now. Put it down, because people are getting shot. Anyway. So, you guys head back to London. It takes about 45 minutes for you guys to get there. And the entire city has changed pretty drastically. It's odd because there was a lot of trees and plants and everything growing, and the air quality had actually gotten better, but it was disconcerting. And now the air has changed kind of back to the Industrial Revolution blanket that has been there for so long.
Hooray, rickets.
You also don't see anybody with masks. You do see masks on the ground. They just kind of fell off and people just left them on the ground, littered about. The trees seem to have gone missing. They're no longer there.
Have they left anything in their place? Is there like rotting anything or smell of decay or mushrooms?
Yeah, there is, but it's not to the level that it is back where you guys did the ceremony. So, like, your shop is, with a couple of weeks of work, you could probably get your shop up and running if you wanted to, that kind of thing. You see a lot more kids in the streets. Obviously, a lot of them had on Mies masks. Say Mies. That six times fast.
I won't.
Ethel, you are seeing these orbs over literally everybody's heads. Some of them are really bright. Some of them are not. So you're figuring that the person's overall being and health and whatever affects how bright this...
It's the vitality.
Vitality there. Yeah, how the orb is looking.
Okay.
You guys go and you find... Because there's only so many places that the Baroness is going to eat lunch. So you're able to kind of track her down. She's like, hello. There's a lot of you all of a sudden. What's going on? How was the country? Penny goes, it was fine, Mother. We don't want to wait to get married. We would like to do it today. And we would like to talk with to someone down at the courts to kind of speed things along. She kind of gets this perplexed look. And she goes, Alizé, is this what you want? You don't want a large wedding with all of your friends there? And,
pardon me, Your Ladyship, I've never wanted those things personally. I was mostly felt obligated to ensure your happiness and feeling included in society with you.
I don't want anyone to feel obligated to do anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Benny and I have had a very private, quiet courtship, and I think it would be fitting if we had the same in a ceremony.
Well, it's unusual.
Neither one of us are very flashy people.
No, and I appreciate that. I understand. You've had a hard road, from what I've been told, with health and everything. And I wouldn't want ceremony to get in the way of love. So let me get a few things I'll need to do to be able to get this going. And let's say 3 hours? Can you... 3 hours?
That's rather fast, yes. That would be wonderful.
If you want it today, it's already lunch.
Yes, of course.
So I'll send my my servant out to get things going, and we'll see you in 3 hours.
Thank you, ma'am.
Do you have a dress, or are you going to...
Yes, we already picked out. Do you call?
Oh, yes, I remember the day I had tea with Mabel. Did you know her house burned down?
Oh, that's tragic.
Oh, no.
Oh, dreadful.
Her and her husband and her entire staff went up in flames.
Oh, no.
How awful.
Mm. Awful.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
She was, you know, she was okay. She was all right.
You weren't fond of her either, were you?
She was very difficult sometimes, I will say. I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but she could be difficult, yes. You know, there was always some reason. There was some reason to be upset, and that can be difficult. Yes,
draining, yes.
Yes.
Agreed.
Anyway, get your dress. And we'll make this happen today, then.
Glad we could see eye to eye. Thank you so much. Looking forward to it.
Well, welcome to the family. Even though it's a quick wedding, there are things that need to get done. Probably host the party either at Ethel's or at Eugenia's, because it's big enough. So there's that. There's the needing of food and liquor and all that. And you're going to have to get dressed and do all that stuff.
Well, I'm sure with Eugenia's money being restored, she's back up to a full staff.
Sure.
So, you know, I'll send word to Mrs. Fitch to start making arrangements for dinner for however many our party is. Okay. And, you know, the whole nine yards.
Dr. Powell, now that you're back and you've got a few hours till you have to meet up with the rest of them,
mm-hmm.
Do you want to check in on Martin?
Yeah, I think she was very distracted the whole time while everyone was talking. Just, okay, I'm going to... Can we go back to your estate now, please?
You go back and Martin has gotten his self together and... is looking like he's about to leave soon. And he goes, oh, dear, how are you? I didn't know where you had... I mean, I knew you went to the country, but I didn't know when you would be back.
I think she kind of just ignores the emotional component and is just checking him out at first. Just like, how does he look? Is he okay?
He looks distraught, like he's been emotionally through a lot and mm-hmm. kind of worn down a little bit.
But
so.
Like any like lasting wounds, like the last time she saw him, he was like bloody fingered and vapid.
You've wrapped his fingers up pretty well, but it's going to take a lot for his fingers to heal up, and he's got rope burns on his hands. He seems like he's been deeply affected by it. Because usually he's very passionate with you, but now he seems like he's distant because he's emotionally just kind of been hit hard.
Yeah. She definitely hugs him and just, we took care of it as far as I understand.
Oh, good.
I'm so sorry that...
Why are you apologizing? I don't know why it came over to me to write so much. I just felt this compulsion and... I'm worried that now I don't want to write anymore. I don't know what I want to do. It took a lot out of me.
You don't have to decide now, and you don't have to be anything now. You don't have to feel normal. Just be.
Would you stay with me if I wasn't a poet?
Of course. I love you, not the things that you create. No, I like the things that you create, obviously.
Yes.
I understand. You don't.
Okay.
I'm
so happy.
Hurt.
Okay. And then she starts crying and like mumbling a bunch of like nonsense things and just sort of cries into his shoulder.
Okay. He goes, I think I'd like to go back to our flat. This place is nice, but I want to be home.
Let's go.
All right.
Is everyone at Eugenia's house right now?
I believe so, because that's where everybody's kind of getting everything ready. So
nice. As we go downstairs, I want to like make eye contact with Ethel and snap and point over Martin's head when he's not looking.
What do I see?
You see, instead of a ball, you see a bunch of symbols like triangles and squares and octagons all going into each other, and they're all very bright colors, and they're kind of just all jumbled together. It's really strange. It doesn't look like anyone else's.
I kind of shake my head a little at her and shrug.
Yeah, she looks markedly more concerned now.
It seems chaotic. I will say that. It seems chaotic.
Her, like, entire expression kind of goes, like, glazes over and goes very cold, and she escorts him out.
All right. So, to the actual wedding, does anybody want to do anything else?
Yeah. Dr. Powell is going to send a note along with her regrets.
I see how it is.
It's specifically addressed to Alizé and just says, I don't begrudge you your happiness, but I fear that I am losing mine and that I may have suffered a mortal wound in having dealt with this with all of you.
Oh, shoot. That's an ominous note that I'm not going to take very well before my wedding. Thanks.
Happy wedding.
Okay, so you head back and you send that note back, okay?
Did anyone speak with Dr. Powell before she left?
We exchanged a couple of glances, but nothing was discussed.
She says that she's been dealt some sort of mortal wound. I'm very concerned.
I hope that this is not because of what I saw. I wasn't able to communicate it to her at the time.
What did you see?
Over Martin's head, there was symbols of some sort. It was chaotic, and they were flowing into each other. It was unlike anything else that I've seen so far.
What do you mean, flowing into each other? They weren't staying stationary. They were morphing.
It was moving, and it's very hard to describe.
That sounds terrifying. I really do hope that I'm doing the right thing today. So many signs have occurred that feel antithetical to the day. I'm trying very hard to celebrate, but I'm very torn.
One of us, many of us, deserve some sort of happiness, and you definitely do. So you should continue on with this, and I think it is a bright spot in what has been a pretty dark time.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate that.
I agree so very much with Ethel. I think today is a day for celebration. We'll deal with whatever comes tomorrow, tomorrow.
Hopefully it doesn't come tonight.
Oh. But something else will.
Everyone was thinking.
Somebody had to say it.
Yeah. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I'm a hot lady. I would never think such things.
So after a whirlwind 3 or 4 hours, you guys find yourselves in front of a magistrate, and it's amazing what a baroness with a goal can do, and has all the paperwork and everything else, and you guys get together and fill out the paperwork, and surrounded by your friends, you go through the vows, and finally they say, kiss the bride, and Benny gives you a kiss, and you're married.
I don't feel any different inside. strange. This is my musical episode. No different. It's just the monologue from my brain. I do not feel different. I still love Benny, but now I have doubts that I've done this thing. Oh, shit. Did I say oh, shit out loud? No. Okay. I do love you, Benny. I'm so happy.
I love you, too. And, you know, it's good to finally be here.
It's been a long time coming.
Yes. Yes, it has.
I do appreciate your patience.
I appreciate you. I really do. Now let's go have a party and start our life.
Let's do it.
Okay. So you guys head back to the house and you have a party, as ripping a party as a duchess will allow.
Exactly. There might actually be brandy.
Yes, brandy, maybe. Ooh.
I have 5 glasses of sherry already.
Just blaming us as servants.
No. The servants have gotten into the sherry. Ah.
So, Ethel, during the night, you're seeing everybody's orb above their head glowing with a lot of fire. But you also notice that the general's doesn't seem as bright as it should.
She's not really sure what to do with that information just yet, but she feels like, of all the times to bring it up, this is not it.
Okay. So after the night's done, you return to your house, right?
No.
You're going to stay there. Oh, yeah, because you're Evelyn right now.
Yeah.
I forgot. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can go back to my house at this point.
After everything is done, you're still feeling that itch on your back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to check it out at this point, now that the wedding's done and everyone's kind of, Benny has swept Alizé away to a honeymoon night somewhere?
I mean, once the night winds down, you know, and she's back in the room, because I'm sure Eugenia would be letting her stay another evening.
Right, of course.
Yeah, she would definitely look in the mirror to see what the hell is going on.
So the patch has grown from about the center of your back towards the side of your torso and a bit down. It looks like it's covering a much larger area at this point. And there is these vascular veins popped up red through it all. Can I have a sand check?
Yep. And it's against current sand, right?
Right.
Yep. Let's see how that goes. Oh, I actually made it. I got a 31.
Awesome.
Miracles happen every day. It was a blessed wedding day.
So you take a point of sand, but it is concerning you how fast it's growing. Dr. Powell did mention removing it.
Yeah, I was actually going to reach out to Dr. Powell. I don't know that it's been confirmed that we know where she lives, so.
I would have put it on my, I don't know, like maybe my stationery, my private stationery has an address.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you guys, she's a doctor, so she's easily found, because sometimes you need to find a doctor. It's, you know, they do house calls all the time. Do you want to just go over to her place?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
That's what I would do.
Do you mention anything to Eugenia about the general?
I'm going to wait until the morning, or, you know, the next day, probably, to mention it to her.
So you go over, and Eugenia, the night is done. The general looks tired. He looks worn down. He doesn't seem to be moving all that quick. We'll get right back to you. Dr. Powell, you've just gotten Martin to kind of relax and lay down. He's fallen asleep. And you hear a soft knock at the door.
She's going to, like, put on her robe. I think she's, like, in that half state of dress where, like, the overdress stuff is on, but, like, hasn't really, like, completely wound down yet. So she throws a big robe on over it and goes and answers the door. Oh.
I am sorry to call on you on such a late hour, but it is important.
Come in, of course.
I'm sorry I couldn't be there. Are you okay?
The spot has spread considerably.
Okay. Are you feeling any discomfort?
It itches something fierce.
Okay. And she kind of keeps, like, looking over at Martin and, like...
He's out.
Yeah. Like, she actually, like, visibly relaxes when she sees that he's, like, completely asleep.
Yeah.
She does not want to put him through any more of this, even, like, by proxy.
Yeah, no. And,
yeah,
no.
She's, like, dealing... Like, she's ushered you to, like, the far end of the loft, like, opposite...
Sure.
...the, like, bed area. Okay. If you would like to... And she kind of, like, draws a little, like, privacy shade around you, around the two of you, two of us, and, like, drags over some lamps. Yeah, and is going to give it a look.
Yeah.
It's growing pretty quickly, and these veins are kind of bulging out, and they're red. You are concerned because you just looked at this literally, like, a day and a half ago.
Yeah.
And it was, like, the size of a silver dollar. And now it has, like, tripled in size. It's much bigger. Yeah, it's...
So, like, teacup amount?
A little bit bigger, like, coffee mug amount. So, yeah, about there.
Okay.
And it's going towards her side, towards her torso. And she's now, instead of one vein, she's got that one vein and then two veins sprouting out from it.
I think she's going to... She's going to apply, like, a topical analgesic in order to, like, numb it so it itches less. But then also, she wants to pierce one of those veins just to double check that blood comes out. Who knows?
Okay, now, do you want to do this here, or do you want to go to a place that's a little bit not your apartment?
She doesn't have, like, personal, like, she doesn't have a private office.
You could take her to Graves' place.
Ugh.
No, that place is disgusting. She will catch something terrible and die. I keep this immaculate, and I don't want Martin out of my sight for the foreseeable future.
When you pierce this vein, is she laying on the floor? Like, what's the setup?
Dr. Powell is sitting in a chair, like, examining with, like, a glass, looking glass. And you're just standing with, like, your back exposed to her, and she's just going to, like, prick it.
Yeah.
Just real quick, just to see what's going on.
All right. So when she pricks this vein, this dark purple, like, thick, almost pussy substance oozes out like it popped. And then Martin and Terry. And the vein deflates a little bit.
Yeah.
It deflates. So there's whatever the substance is in that vein, when you let it out, it actually goes down. It is not part, you can tell right away, of her actual body. This isn't a vein that was there that has been changed.
Inflamed. Yeah.
Inflamed.
Is a different set of vascularity.
It is a different set of veins that is growing into her.
Yep. With that in mind, did the numbing work? Did she flinch when I did that?
It hurt, but not that bad to her. So your guess is it's growing towards her side and towards her spine. Your best guess is that it has not attached itself to her nervous system yet.
Okay. how are you feeling constitutionally? Because I want this off of you now.
I have been through so much. Do what you need to do.
Okay.
And she's going to get up and grab, like, tons of gauze and, like, some freshly boiled towels and, like, as much clean equipment as she has.
Right.
And just a full-ass bottle of whiskey. And
just
puts it in her hand, like, this is for you. One shot for me.
Here's a wooden spoon.
Yeah.
Down on it.
Yeah. No, not my spoon. I need it. For cooking.
Ethel definitely takes a couple shots of whiskey before this gets going.
This is going to take a while. And I think she has one of those, like, I don't know. I choose to believe that she's got a cool stool where you can, like, kneel on it. So she's kneeling with her back. And yeah, we're just going to start peeling that shit back. Like, first she pops the veins, then she scrapes the scaling. Let's go. I am here for this medical stuff. I can be more specific if you want. So we're going to get the little tweezers and we're going to start pulling back the scaling skin and clearing the skin underneath until we get to, like, fresh, healthy Ethel flesh underneath and just scoring it and digging it up.
Yeah. Let's get into the Ethel flesh.
Yeah, we got to get back to Ethel flesh.
Yeah, let's dig right in.
So I wanted to be a doctor as a child, and then when I fainted at the sight of my own blood at around 11 years old, 12, I decided it was probably a bad idea. I was on an episode of ER 800 years ago. I don't think I actually watched it because I can't actually handle any type of medical shit. So this is like literally the worst, but I'm here for it and I love you. And
I was bio pre-med for long enough to know, like, to be very specific with the muscle memory that's happening.
Like, I couldn't even do, like, for my voice and speech class in college for acting, like, when they did the anatomy, like, of, like, the larynx and, like, all the. I was like, oh, I can't hear about stuff inside the body. Don't show me pictures. I don't want to know how it works. It's all magic. Let's move on.
Okay. Do you drain the vascularity first or?
First, we pop the veins. Then we pull back the scaling, and then we are going to dig in and, like, follow all of that vascularity as far as it goes and, like, dig it out and cauterize on the way out.
What's your surgery percentage?
Oh, do I actually have a as a skill? Oh,
yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Or is it just medicine?
It's just medicine.
What's your percentage?
70.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to roll it for you and not tell you what the results are.
I do have a question before we do that, though. There's supposed to be a mechanic of, like, check stuff off and then it goes up.
Mm-hmm. Have you checked off before?
I've checked off twice.
Okay, so what we need to do real quick before we do this roll so that it's all legit, you need to roll against that 70. You want to get above the 70. If you get above the 70, you get to increase the amount.
Okay, so, did it the first time, did not the second time.
Okay, so it stays where it's at. Higher they get, the harder it is.
Yeah, respect.
All right, so you start poking at veins and doing all this stuff, okay?
I want to do this for real. I'm, like, very into it.
So you're doing surgery on Ethel. Eugenia, you are walking up the stairs with Robert, and he drops to one knee and starts grabbing his chest and has this really bad, pained look on his face. And that's where we're going to stop it.
Oh, brutal.
So,
thanks for the gut punch, Wes.
Thank you guys so much.
He doesn't know how else to do it, you know? Like, yep, that's like it.
Respect.
I always feel bad because it's like a horror show, but then you guys, I get so much guff from the looks and everything. It's like, I feel bad that I'm doing the horror game thing.
Wes, you should feel very, very bad.
I'm a horrible person.
Yeah, you should feel.
So what is everybody doing? We'll start with Michelle.
Crying into my pillow tonight, but
no! Pretend husband, he's going to be okay.
I hope so. No, what I'm doing in real life, I am on a stream every Saturday. You can find me on It's Probably Okay's Twitch channel, Saturday mornings for Return to the Spider-Verse. I'm there with the lovely Abria, and we're there 10 to 12 on Saturday mornings. You can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also get my music through Plate Mail Games at DriveThru RPG or Battle Bards.
Hi, I'm Abria Iyengar, and you can catch me on social media at Quiddie, Q-U-I-D-D-I-E. I stream all over the place, and in addition to Return of the Spider-Verse on Saturday mornings, you can catch me on Tuesday nights leading the lovely Terry and some other fun friends through Pirates of Salt Bay, which is a homebrew D&D 5th edition game over on Saving Throw Show at 8 p.m. Pacific. Other than that, you can catch me on Wednesdays over at Scabby Rooster's Twitch channel for Endymion's Gate, which is a really cool sci-fi game in the Hill Folk system. All the VODs are actually over on Becca Scott's Good Time Society YouTube channel, so you can catch up with all of them there. That's super good and fun. Other than that, check out my socials because I am starting up a campaign through Roll20 on D&D's channel, which we're going to be playing through Lost Mines of Phandelver, I think on Mondays at 4 Pacific. I just said that number. I think it's 1. I'll be clear later. Oh, God. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And and just check out my socials because I don't know how to keep up with my life.
but it's good and fun.
Oh, hi there. I'm not as busy as Bria, but I'm happy to watch. You can find me at the Terry Gamble on the internet. It's at terrygamble.com, at the Terry Gamble on all the social medias. Best way to keep up is probably that way as well, too. Like Bria said, every Tuesday night, you can find me at the Pirates of Salt Bay, pirating away on Mondays. You can find me at Horror Movie Survival Guide, the weekly podcast that comes out every Monday. Unless you're a Patreon and comes out a little earlier, usually, too. Every week, new adventures. So check that out.
Hey guys, I'm Mac Beauvais, and when I'm not undergoing emergency random surgeries in this game, I can be found online as at Strange Like That. That's the Twitter, the Instagrams, and the Facebooks. You can also find me at strangelikethat.com, where I have links to my shop and tarot readings and fun stuff like that. You can also find me every Monday over at Happy Jack's, where I am playing either Things from the Flood or The Great American Witch. So tune in.
My name is Wes Otis. You can find all of the sound effects you hear on Battle Bards and Drive Through RPG. You can use them in your game. You can also find 12 Sided Stories, the number 12, then Sided Stories on both Instagram and on Twitter. And then our website is the full 12 Sided Stories, no spaces, no nothing, spelled out. You can also, if you want to help the show, give us a shout out or leave us a review on one of the platforms you listen to, or find us on Patreon and join up. We have a show over there called Agent's Dossier, which is just for the Patreon. And we do a ton of just really cool Patreon stuff. We also have a Twitch channel coming up soon. You can find it now. It is 12 Sided Stories, all one word, at TV. I think it's at .tv or .twitch. But we're on there, so take a look. And we will be doing shows soon there as well. So thank you guys so much. Thank you for joining us. It's always just a lot of fun. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye.